Type radio. Type radio.
My name is Ryan Pescatore Frisk. This is Type Radio from New York. We are now talking.
Hello, my name is Katelijn van Middelkoop. I'm from Strange Attractors Design. And this is Type Radio from New York.
What sparked your interest in type, typography?
I used to watch my mom make posters when I was a kid, like just hand-drawn marker posters for school or something. So I can say that I was fascinated with that, and my mom would always draw letters. I mean, not that she's a designer or anything, but, you know.
Yeah, I also think from the moment that a teacher said when I was learning how to write, he said, "Oh, you're doing good." And I thought, "Oh, I'm good at something." It's just nice. You can read it. It looks. You can make it three-dimensional. And you can see things.
It's the basis for like all of design and communication.
And also, like your parents being graphic designers, also
helps. Yeah, they had quite nice samples around from the 70s.
Are you inheriting all the? Are you just? Or are you taking them?
Yeah, my sister became a lawyer, so.
That's great then.
We have some really nice design furniture that we inherited from them in our studio and stuff like that. But there's also, you have a whole collection of like Rubuff Letraset from the 60s and 70s and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's cool. You just had Dave Ferry and he worked for Letraset. You sort of had to lay out the sheets of Letraset. Kind of cool.
And he told us how much they cheated and they limited the letters.
They left out like E's and A's, so you have to buy more sheets.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. We always played with them when we were little, and you would run out of them.
Ah.
Yeah, that was on purpose.
So you had to make new ones
out of C's, and then you had to. So, Shit.
Yeah, it's good that we're making a point of it, because he said during the interview, this is a subject, you know, I can talk about it now.
He said he didn't cheat.
Yeah.
At first.
Yeah, exactly.
And he said, well, with the sheets. Working for Letraset. Well, you said it was company policy to sort of.
Wow, that's a marketing tool, huh? Distribution tool.
So, what projects are you working on now?
Well, we just finished an identity just before we came. I need to do a huge web update. Oh.
Yes, we're.
Hell.
That's always you. I always think of the web updates you have to do when everyone's. So, what are you doing? I'm like, oh shit! Everything that you've done, I have to put it up there.
Yeah. Yeah, we just finished a whole bunch of stuff before we came.
And this is the most necessary thing on our list. We have to. The website is a year and a half old. The work that we have done.
For who? For which?
For us.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you come about with a name? I mean.
I like physics. I read some stuff on physics. And Strange Attractors is a term in chaos theory, and I won't go into what it means exactly, but it was kind of an interesting way to name ourselves, because we're kind of strange and we sometimes attract people. So
believe that? I don't know, after sometimes people come go in and out of the like, oh, our name, and then they say,
we've had that too, but it seems to people are picking up on the name now. And
it was just temporary in the beginning. We're like, oh, well, what do we need a name? Okay, we'll take this, and that's fine, and we'll change it. But it started to roll along, so
we also had to think of a name very, very quick, because it was to solve our credit issue and the whole
ego.
Competitive, battling ego.
Working under one name instead of two.
Yeah.
And sorry, your last name? I think it's where does it come from?
My great grandfather's name was Constantino Pescatore, and when they came over to America, it's changed to Frank Frisk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, how do you get more generic than that? No, but. Apparently, there's different stories of how it relates. I don't know. So I take Pescatore because it's from my lineage.
So you reinstated the name.
My brothers and sisters don't use that.
Okay. And you, yeah, you kept all, obviously the frisk.
I have one great aunt left who is a pescatore, and so she's my, you know, my supporter in this corner.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's a good. It's. I thought it could be an also a name for a font. It would be a. No, why not?
Maybe.
Pescatory gold. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Frisk light. I don't know. No, it would be good.
All right.
We just. This week we saw the Typophile Film Festival, and like one of the contributions was your film. Could you tell us something about it?
Well, we presented our the film fest presented Little Yellow Riding Hood, which is a 5 minutes short film that we did for Fawn Shop, and Fawn Shop Jan Middendorp asked if we.
Eric Van Blokken, you might have seen the posters that he did. He generated, he wrote, you know, a Python script or a program to generate all these posters. They were thinking about doing something similar for video to use all the type. And they kind of approached us because they didn't want something that was so, well, they knew that people wouldn't watch it if it was just a spec and a spec and a spec and a spec. So they approached us and we said, well, if we use every typeface that you have, it'll take so much time to get it into the computer and so much time for this, and it ended up being like a 3-hour video, and it would take us 2 months to do, you know, so.
And we only had 2 weeks.
So. Yeah, so we said, okay, you know, we're going to take this fairy tale, and then we're going to twist it around, bring it into like typographic subculture, and we're going to have some fun.
And who wrote the story, or did you write it together?
We wrote it together.
And how did you choose? I mean, how many fonts did you use in the end?
Over 300.
60 or 50.
In 5 minutes.
In 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Some of them had to be repeated because they were just too. They were just too good, not to.
And everything, like even the little Yellow Riding Hood herself is a character. You know, so we didn't draw anything. It's all pieces from typefaces.
And commas.
And you made the music to it.
Yeah, in fact.
Cool.
Funny, yeah.
And the voiceover we recorded with the help of Agnes and her friends.
OS-10, yes.
I mean, I assume you every line you consciously decided to use this font and not that font. But I mean, I can understand that could take you. You didn't suddenly go, okay, we're going to go through A and then B
We had all the we just had the spec in front of us and then look. Was nice and then
picked out certain faces that you know
frame scene by scene, so just whatever looked good in the one scene.
And you just crossed out the ones that we are definitely not going to use.
I think we just picked out ones that had a little personality, and then ones that were classic faces from the library.
It's most of it. I think fonts that are probably no longer the most popular ones. There are hardly any text faces in there.
And some of the, like I think was it Joan or someone from. From Font Shop, I was like, oh man, I didn't even know he sold some of those fonts, you know?
Well, it's quite good. I mean, it promotes.
I think they were also happy to see this weird combination of their type together instead of it all being separate specs or separate frames.
Well, no one would ever, you know, in their right mind ever use it like that, you know, so it was.
I did like the line about the counting sheep.
that was a little Speakerman reference. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Typeradio.org